All right, very good. Well, let's jump into the text today, Matthew chapter 6, as we finish out the Lord's pattern prayer, the Lord's pattern prayer. I don't know if you've ever been hunted before. Have you ever been hunted? It's not fun. My only broken arm came as a child jumping off Pastor Rice's porch there in Southern Jersey, playing birdie. I was not trying to fly. I was being chased by older brothers. My buddy and I were being chased. We were the birds and they were the hunters. And I did break my arm, but I survived. I survived. I ran, outran the hunters. But I was maimed in the process. I don't know if you've ever tried paintball. That is the closest I think I've felt recently to being hunted. I've enjoyed taking different team groups to paintball fields, and even often at camps, you come across this, and I'm not very good at that. I often end up just kind of cuddled behind a tree or a group of trees trying to wait out the time before I get pelted with these little balls of paint at 160 feet per second. It does hurt, and it hurts so much that your adrenaline starts pumping. I know the last time I played, at least one time, I had a really good player on my team. I hope that he's in the military by now. At one point, I know I was huddled and hiding. And then he started picking off all the enemy one by one by one and delivered me, even though I had been surrounded. And that was a good feeling to have a deliverer helping. I could still remember adrenaline pumping that way, which is very small compared to what some people face even on a daily basis as they risk their own lives, even to this day, risk their own lives. Serving in places where their life could be taken as they serve in military. Even a more grueling thought, no doubt, of course, as they think of their life being risked in that way. And my mind goes to King David ducking into a cave or into the mountains, trying to be quiet while his assailants are seeking his life, trained killers. You put yourself in his shoes and wonder how many sleepless nights he spent thinking or listening to twigs break, wondering if it was for his life, and penning even psalms like this, Psalm 40, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt." King David knew great danger and even danger of his life. This is a feeling I want you to feel as we begin the message today, because all of us are in that way. We're not sitting in the darkness waiting for someone to destroy us physically. It's even more grueling than that. We are sitting in an open plateau and we are waiting for the devil to have his way. You're in greater danger than any physical danger. Because Paul describes this spiritual danger as even more real. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are forces, they are spiritual forces, and they are against you. You are seated in the battle. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, prowling about looking for someone to devour. So we need to be sober in spirit, be on the alert, because that is true. And so as the Lord gives us something to pray about today, as he shares the things that we need to be praying about, he really focuses on this aspect of spiritual warfare and the need to be on the alert. This is not something to laugh about. This is not something to push aside. You are in warfare, and we need to be trained to know how to pray in warfare. And so the Lord gives us this from this pattern prayer today. We can remember that the biggest chunk of this prayer is about the Lord and his purposes, right? The first portion of it, verses 9 and 10, are all about praying God's purposes, praying that our Father who is in heaven's name would be hallowed, praying that his kingdom would come, praying that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. He moves from God's purposes to our own prayer requests, but those prayer requests are, interestingly enough, mostly spiritual. Look at verse 11 is the only one that deals with a physical prayer request at all, praying for our daily bread, and that's it. That's all that he talks about. Our Lord is helping us understand the real needs of our life, the real needs of our society, the real needs of our family are on a spiritual level. And so verse 11 deals with the physical, but praying for our daily needs are all about forgiveness and all about deliverance, all about forgiveness and all about deliverance, right? When we think of the things that we should be praying for, when we think about the things that should be on our prayer request for our community, on the prayer request for our family, it really entirely deals with our spiritual state. And I think Jesus does this throughout this whole sermon. He's really helping to wake us up to this, the truth that the most important things about your life are not the physical. They're the spiritual things. What is most important for my culture? What is most important for my family? Is it financial stability? Is it health? Is it the educational system? No, it's spiritual vitality. That is the main thing that God has us to be concerned about. That is the main request that Jesus has for us, is our spiritual state. Our eternal life, our spiritual vitality, that is what's important for our neighbors. That is what's important for my coworkers. That is what's important for my family. That is what's important for me. And so the Lord opens our eyes to this, even in how he teaches us to pray. And in doing so, he's going to focus our attention this week on deliverance from the evil one. And so like verse two, request number two with our daily needs there, verse 12, was all about making right our wrongs of our past. And so he's looking back and he's saying a big prayer request for you is to make sure the wrongs of your past are forgiven. And so as he talks about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. And so you're forgiving and you're forgiven. But then he looks to the future and he's asking for us to remain right, is where the petition picks up. So not just to right our wrongs, verse 12, to stay right in our future. And so that's the petition for today. And so the sermon title or prayer request for us today is prayer for purity. Prayer for purity as we move forward, asking the Lord to keep us right, not just to right our wrongs of our past, but to keep us right as we move on. You see there, verse 13 clearly gives a request and then a reason for the request. Most of our time here in the few minutes we have is to give ourselves to the request, understanding how I should pray to the Lord regarding deliverance. And then we'll end up there with the reason for request that we touched on last time, and really is the capstone of the prayer. The request there, the petition to stay right, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We find here in this petition a two-prong petition. There's two prongs to it. As you can see, there's a kind of a parallel, almost a poetic parallel, where Jesus gives an action, or we'll say an action to pray for, and then the object of that action that's kind of keeping us from that action. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And in each of those actions, the two prongs of the prayer request, one is passive, asking God not to lead us, and the other is active, deliver us. Do not lead us, right, as we're going, do not lead us, and then also deliver us. So let's jump in here, first of all, to this passive deliverance, and we'll look at the action itself and the object, what we're to be delivered from. So the first prong of a prayer request is this passive deliverance. Lord, don't lead us. Don't let us come into the place of temptation. The action is that he would not lead. Do not lead us this way. I don't know if you've ever prayed that. I hope that you'll start praying that on a daily basis, according to our Lord's pattern prayer. We think of the pathway of life and where God is taking us, and we're asking him to not lead us a certain place. Lord, do not lead this way. As we pray for guidance, as we pray for daily sensitive heart to the Lord's leading, we're asking him not to lead us in a specific way. And I think we do find here, again, another parallel between the Lord's instruction to Moses on Mount Sinai and our Lord's Jesus instruction to us from the mountain there by the Sea of Galilee. We find a similar parallel here. The Lord, our shepherd, is leading us, and he's giving us instruction in how to pray that he would lead us, that his pillar of fire and his cloud would lead us in green pastures and still waters, as he did for Israel. And I'm really interested there as he's leading Israel, even in Exodus. He says, I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the different inhabitants little by little. This is Exodus 23, verse 29. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. So there's this leading of the Lord that goes before us little by little, giving us as much as we can take. And we're praying, Lord, give us grace to follow you little by little in your leading. So we want to be like the sheep that follow close to the shepherd and asking him to follow to lead in a way that would be by still waters and by green pastures. That we would not be, as he says in Psalm 32, like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, who have to be led by bridle. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be kicking against the pricks. We want to follow the Lord's leading with pure heart and ask him to lead us in a way that would not be a way of temptation. Lord, do not lead. As you lead, Lord, we follow, and we ask that you would not lead us into temptation. And so that's the object there. The object, do not lead, is the action. And then the object would be, do not lead us into what? Into temptation. Lord, please do not lead us into temptation. The word temptation can be translated test or trial, as well as temptation to sin. And so we're asking the Lord that that as he leads us, we would not be led into a situation where I would be tempted to sin. And often that happens. Even these tests, these trials, these difficult periods turn into things that could frustrate us or encourage us to lash out in anger or to give in to the flesh. And so they can turn into things that would be tempting to us. We should consider these three truths from the Bible about this word that help us consider biblical truths about testing as we pray biblically about it. Our first truth here is that we're praying the Lord's will because we know that the Lord will never tempt us to sin. James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. The Lord doesn't tempt us to sin. He is not the author of temptation. But it is true that as the tempter, the deceiver of the brethren, is in the earth, the Lord will allow situations that can test us, that can test even our faith, but they're not testing to see if it's good. They're testing to make it stronger. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Yet a little earlier there in James, he says, let no one's tested. We should be thankful for that trial because that trial is what brings endurance. I like to illustrate it that way. We think of a strength training coach, right? And some of you may be doing that. Have someone who helps with your workout. That person is not trying to get you to quit. That person is trying to strengthen your resolve, to give you physical strength, right? My coach in high school was very good at that, would have us run for hours and hours and hours so that we were the strongest team with our endurance, right? Coach Rob was not trying to get us to quit. The weak ones, he didn't want them to quit. He wanted them to get stronger. And it's the same with the Lord. He gives us tests and even allows trials that would give us strength and resolve, that we would not quit. We see that even with Abraham and the patriarchs, all the way down to him allowing the temptation in the wilderness of our Lord. These are the things that make us stronger. Even the rough patches of life are allowed by the Lord to make you stronger, not to make you turn back, to make you stronger. And so that gets us to the second thought. We think of our Lord who gives us the strength to say no to temptation. We know that Christ has withstood every test and is there to help us. Therefore, Hebrews 2 verses 17 and 18, he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Just before Matthew records this sermon in Matthew 5, he talks about Jesus in Matthew 4 being tempted. Led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. There's this allowance by God. Of course, Satan is the primary cause of the temptation, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan is the deceiver of the brethren. But the Lord allows that he might enable us to say no, that we would have victory and consistent victory, which brings us to that third principle. We pray, Lord, give me grace, just as you said no to every temptation. Give me grace to say no to the testing that is in the world. And the Lord does that. We know that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond that we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation. There's our word again. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with that temptation, provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. There are common temptations out there. There are temptations you will face today. And you can choose that temptation to go down that path, or you can choose the way of escape. The Lord gives you a way of escape, the way out, that you would not need to fall prey to that temptation. And so we think of those two ways, and I just really believe that some of you are facing that even this moment. And it's been my prayer that the Lord would use his word to encourage you to choose the way of escape. It may be that even now you need to think through the ways to provide that safeguard, that you would not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, but that you would make provision from the Spirit to say no to the flesh, to say no to the lusts that wage war in your soul. Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision, no stockpile, no foresight to your flesh in regards to its lust. Pray, Lord, keep me from that temptation. It's there, but I can cut off even the pathway to it. If you're tempted to be immoral on Friday night, then stay home with a godly family member on Friday night. If you're tempted to lose your temper playing basketball with your coworkers, then you might find another way to connect with your coworkers. Then you're no longer tempted. The way of escape is provided for you even in the preaching of God's word, and we need to make provision for the Spirit and not for the flesh. Reminded of Proverbs 7 as Solomon looks out and finds the young man, the naive one, the foolish man, lacking sense, and provides a way to pass through the street near the temptation, near her house, in the twilight, in the middle of the night, right there. That's making provision for the flesh. And so as we're asking the Lord to lead us not into temptation, we're also putting feet onto our prayers and not allowing ourselves to walk down that pathway. Please, let me encourage you, don't go near the path of the potholes. Don't go near the cliff. Be the sheep that is led very close to the shepherd, to our Lord, and does not make stockpile for the flesh. And so we have that first prong. May I not come, lead me not into that pathway where I'll be tempted to evil. But secondly, that second prong of that prayer request, also in a very active way, Lord, please deliver me from the evil one. And so our second action here in prayer, and so we're praying this. We're praying this on a daily basis with our heart. Lord, please, today, don't lead me in a way that I'll be tempted to follow the evil one. And Lord, deliver me from him. There's this second action is, what is it there? But do what? Deliver. Deliver is the action. The active action. Deliver us, Lord. Take action and deliver me from this. Not just don't lead me to it, but deliver me from this. Be my deliverer. Be my rescuer. The action here of deliverance is often used in a physical way of deliverance. Deliver me from a danger, from the lion's mouth, Paul says. What does he want us to deliver from? Our Lord applies this spiritually. Deliver us from evil. Could be translated from the evil. The original, it's from the evil. And so some even translate it from the evil one. And I think that would be a primary idea here. Deliver us from the evil one, from not just the evil one, Satan, but all the evil that he is causing in the world through the world, the flesh, and the devil, all the way back from the first temptation in the garden, all the way back from the first rebellion as he tried to rebel against God, making himself like God. So too, he appeals to the flesh to push aside from God into temptation. The garden was not the problem, but the heart of pride. And that's the same temptation today. The heart of pride that would follow our own way instead of God's way. And so we say, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Again, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is the ultimate fight. This is what's going on in an international scale. This is the fight that is going on in our neighborhood. It is not the issue is not these external things. If we could just peel back the curtain and see what is really going on is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and children. And the Lord is opening us up to this through his prayer. He's saying, pray in this way. Don't get so focused on the physical that you're only praying about people's toes and people's physical needs, that you're not praying for even in those things, the spiritual realities of what's going on. People are dying and going to hell. People are being deceived by false doctrine, by people who smile and are pleasant and teaching them the way of error. And he says, this is our struggle. Jesus looks at Peter and says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He wants to crush you, but I have prayed for you. This is the prayer that is going on. This is what we need to be engaged in on an individual basis for our community, for our families, for our church. Because we do know that we have victory. Satan's doom is sure. He is writhing about with his head chopped off like a snake with no power, no lasting power. Satan's wrath is, his craft is great, but one little word from our Lord will fell him. And so we need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. We need to be recognizing his craft. I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis's great little book, and I do recommend this, The Screwtape Letter by C.S. Lewis. I would not recommend you read it in one sitting. It's one of those that maybe you read one chapter every month, so you're not thinking too much on Satan's crafts. But he warns us in this imaginative way about temptations given from one demon training another. Let me read one little portion of this. He's giving this instruction. He says, what we want, if men become Christians at all, is to keep them in the state of mind I call Christianity and. You know, Christianity and the crisis. Christianity and the new psychology. Christianity and the new order. Christianity and faith healing. Christianity and physical research, Christianity and vegetarianism, Christianity and spelling reform. If they must be Christians, let them at least be Christians with this difference. Substitute for the faith itself some fashion with a Christian coloring. Work on their horror of the same old thing. And this is what Satan does, one of his many, many ploys that distracts us from the real spiritual need for all that is the need for Christ. Satan strives to trick us from our primary purpose in life, that is Christ himself and having victory in Jesus, the perfect human who teaches us how to be a part of this in our prayer life. Teaches us how to flee temptation through even using the word itself, not just in prayer, but saying, as our Lord did, it is written, and the devil will flee from us. Spurgeon says, if you will tell me when God permits a Christian to lay aside his armor, I will tell you when Satan has left off temptation. Like the old knights in wartime, we must sleep with helmet and breastplate buckled on, for the arch deceiver will seize our first unguarded hour to make us his prey. The Lord keep us watchful in all seasons and give us a final escape from the jaw of the lion and the paw of the bear. We don't just face temptation from Satan, though. the evil is even more susceptible. Our hearts are more susceptible to the evil because we have the enemy within our flesh itself. We often think of ourselves wrestling hand to hand with Satan, but our own flesh gives us fits enough. James tells us each one of us is tempted. There's our word again. When he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And so we ask the Lord for grace to stand against the temptation of our own heart, for Joseph to flee our heart's desires that court us from Esau's own hunger. We find these hungers promising so much, promising the world, and then leaving us really still starving with just a bowl of porridge. Leaving us without an inheritance, promising us lasting fun, prominence, and companionship, and leaving us in the mud, filthy with a pigsty, with even the things that the pigs won't eat. That is where the heart's temptation leaves us. And that's what's courting you today. It's nothing lasting. Those heart's desires, those lusts of the flesh, they will leave you in a pigsty with nothing but a longing for the Father. And so we go to the Father, we cling to him with Christ, through Christ, finding in him our greatest delight, finding in him our greatest soul's desire, and finding in him really our greatest purpose. But evil wants to take you today. Evil wants to destroy you today. Evil wants to doom your soul today. Really, really burden for our church and our people reading Hebrews. And we just really need to recognize that this is not something to play with, our spiritual state, the state of our soul. Lord, help us to remain close to the Lamb, close to the Shepherd, clinging to him, clinging to Christ and his cross, praying for deliverance from the evil one, because it is all about him. It is all about his deliverance, and that's why we pray this way. Even our closeness to him, even our prayer that we would not fall aside or fall astray, is all about him. And that's the reason for our prayers. Deliver us from evil. Why? Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Even our prayer of petition, all being about the Lord, is because all of this is for him. All right, we're praying that his kingdom come because it's all about his kingdom. We're praying that we would be delivered from evil because our likeness to him is very important for his glory to be seen and shown. Even our ability to say no to temptation is relying upon his power. Yes, it's all about his kingdom. It's all about his power, and it's all about his eternal glory. And so my likeness to him, my saying no to Satan, my saying no to temptation, even all of that is not about Tim. Yes, it is the most blessed life. It is the most pleasant life. It is the way of God's blessing. But even in that way of blessing, it all reflects the glory of God. And so even this prayer of purity, the prayer for purity, is all about Christ. It's all about bringing glory to God, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And so we pray, Lord, lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Satan wants to crack us. Satan wants to dirty us. Satan wants to lead us down that way of temptation. But the Lord has overcome all of that. I love that Hebrews 2 verse 8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Talking about Jesus. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. The power is his. We're praying that his kingdom would come, but his kingdom is here, and nothing is left that is not subject to him. And listen to the rest of that verse. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. So it's like we don't necessarily see it, and yet all things are subjected to him. There is a spiritual sense in which this is all done. His is the power. His is the power for your victory in Jesus. His is the glory. Even though you do see some people worshiping other gods, he already has all the glory. It's just a moment of time before, in reality, what is spiritually true will be true even physically by those who blaspheme his name. They will be bowing to him. So even now we can say to him be due all power and glory and the kingdom. The kingdom is his even in this moment. And so we pray that way because our life is all about him. Our prayers are all about him. And that's what this prayer is all about. It's teaching us, it's showing us that our life is not about ourselves. And we come out as babies intent on serving self. And even today, this is where you will be tempted this week to serve the lust of your flesh, to live for yourself. And Jesus is teaching us, even in your prayers, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. All of this is for his glory, praying for his glory in our lives, even in our personal purity. It is about the Lord. It is not about myself. And so we become windows, as it were, windows through which to display all that God is doing. And again, it's not for me. It's not for my purity. It is the best way to live. It is a beautiful way to live, as we looked at last week. It is the way of God's blessing. It is the way of joy. It's the way of purpose. There is no better purpose in life. Everything else is vanity. But as you do this, it actually displays God's glory, right? There's all this stuff being done inside you, in your heart, the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, purity, all of that is being done. But it's just so that we can be windows through which people can gaze and see the glory of God. And so we can say, look at all this is going on. Look at all that's going on here that God's doing in my life. And it's not so that people can say, wow, you're cool. It's so that, wow, you have a great God. Look at what God can do in someone as silly as that guy over there. This is amazing. And it is amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. And so as we go from lost to found, as we go from sinner to saint, it all displays the glorious life of God. And it is attractive. It's godliness. It's godlikeness. But you know what? Satan wants to crack you this week. Satan wants to tempt you this week. He wants to smudge your glass so that others cannot see the Lord, so that others cannot see his kingdom at work, that Christ be ruling in my heart. He wants others to not see that. So he will want to display other things, the fruit of the flesh in your life. And so he wakes us up to this prayer, and he encourages us to pray this in closing, that we would say, Lord, lead me not into temptation this week. Deliver me from evil. And my heart just goes out to all of us. This is my prayer for you daily. But that the Lord would keep you from temptation this week. And I just believe that the Lord has put this in our steps as a church, because there are some of you even today who are facing a decision that will cause you to walk a way of escape or walk a way of temptation. And I pray that the Lord would lead you not into temptation, because that is a plural. And I pray that each of us in our church would pray that on a corporate level today, that those of you who are being faced with temptation to sin would even now think of the way of escape. He's given you a way of escape. You do not need to face that temptation this week. You need to cut off that relationship or cut off that activity and make it to where it is impossible for you to go down that pathway again. And so in closing prayer and the quietness of this moment, let me encourage you to do business with the Lord. He is the one with whom we have to do. He is the one with whom we have to do. So come before him and ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom to walk in his way. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me, even deliver me from evil. And closing prayer, let's do that in a moment. Pastor Andrew will lead us in prayer and close us in prayer. But let's all take a moment to pray quietly and respond to the Lord's message here to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil for his glory. Let's pray.